Welcome to the Negotiations Ninja podcast, where we develop and deliver the most engaging negotiation content and training in the world. We host negotiation experts, business people, and entrepreneurs, and discuss what works, what doesn't work, and how we can improve our negotiation skills. Hey, listeners, thank you so much for joining me on the Negotiations Ninja podcast. Today we have Tim Kintz on the show. Tim is an auto sales and auto negotiations coach and trainer. And auto sales and auto negotiation is not something that we've ever talked about on the show, surprisingly, because it's where most of us negotiate. So we're super happy to have Tim on because he talks about negotiation and how salespeople in the auto space can become better negotiators. And he also talks about things that we as consumers can look out for. Really excited about this show, really excited to share his wisdom with you. I think you're going to enjoy it as well. Enjoy. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic, man. Thank you so much for joining me on the show.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Now, I'm really excited to talk about your work around negotiation, and I'm thrilled that you're here today because I think you provide a different perspective than we usually get. So I want to get into that, but before we do, could you please tell the listeners who you are and what you do?
Yeah, my name's Tim Kintz. I'm the president of the Kintz Group. We are a training and consulting company for mainly the retail side of the automotive industry. We go in dealerships and do in-store consulting, training. We hold seminars and workshops at Topgolf. I try to have fun and competition in everything I do. And we also have some online training platforms along with a book and some other resources. Our space is the automotive industry, and anybody that's ever bought a car knows that it's a big game of negotiating.
It is a big game of negotiating.
Sometimes it goes good, sometimes not so good.
I assume you're just being humble, but you just came out with an Amazon bestseller, Frictionless.
I did, Frictionless, Closing and Negotiating with Purpose. It's exciting. It's a much-needed resource for people in the automotive industry, without a doubt. And the principles are, they carry across any platform for the most part when it comes to negotiating.
Yeah, I love that, man. One of the key themes that you come up with in your book is that negotiation is optional. What do you mean by that?
Well, you don't have to negotiate. If you believe that you have a great product and it has a fair price and you're able to build the value and you see the value in your product, then there's nothing wrong with asking full price for something, right? We buy stuff on Amazon for full price all the time and don't start negotiating with them. And most of us don't go search overstock.com, walmart.com, 15 other sites to see if we can save 12 cents on something, right? But if you believe in your product and if you believe in the process you followed and you did the right thing for the customer, then asking for all the money, gross profit, they're not dirty words, but sometimes I think we see it as a negative.
I totally agree with you. Why do you think that most people don't ask for full price?
A few reasons. I think one, they know that they didn't earn the right to ask full price, meaning they didn't get the value higher than the price. And you're not always going to get full price, especially when you're selling negotiable items such as cars and houses and stuff. But if you didn't do a good job and you know you didn't do a good job, whether it's conscious or subconscious, then you don't feel like you have the right. But the other part is I think people are afraid of objections and afraid because they don't know how to handle objections or overcome objections, or they let their emotions take over the logical part of a car deal.
Interesting. How do they let their emotions take over control of the deal?
Well, you know, anybody that's gone out and bought a car knows it's, you have emotional part of the deal and you have a logical part of the deal, right? When you go to a dealership, you're excited about, you know, do I want to get the black on black or do we want the gray interior? Do we want to get the panoramic sunroof? And my job as a salesperson is to get you to your peak as long as I can, because once I sit down and negotiate, it becomes a logical negotiation. It's all right. About can I afford the payments? What's the discount? What's my insurance going to be? And as a salesperson, if you can't control your emotions, those emotions tend to crush your ability to be logical, to justify why you're asking what you're asking, to make it make sense to a customer, to make it a budget-focused negotiation. And it really is, in any negotiation, learn how to leverage the emotions to capitalize on the deal.
Is that what you mean by negotiating out of inspiration and not desperation?
When I say negotiate out of inspiration, not desperation, is I think so often people are more afraid of losing the deal than they are inspired of making it. Well, yeah, but it may not work. Yeah, but it might work. Stop. Don't play prevent defense for my football fans out there. It's don't let fear paralyze you, right? As salespeople in any industry, we're emotional creatures. That's just how it is. And sometimes it's good emotion. Sometimes it's bad emotion. But in a negotiation, if you allow your emotions to take over, they crush your ability to focus on logic. And, you know, it's the old John F. Kennedy, never fear to negotiate, but don't negotiate out of fear.
Powerful.
And it's, you know, false evidence appearing real, all the cute little acronyms and stuff, but it's absolutely true. And I think in the car business, really, it happened after the recession. In 08, we did everything we could to make any deal. Hell, we didn't even know if we were going to have a dealership, if the manufacturer was going to shut them down. So everybody sold out of desperation, did whatever they could. We're kind of going through that right now, but it never really recovered. And we were blessed for 10, 11, 12 years to have a great economy, and people were coming out buying cars. We weren't actually selling them.
Right.
And now we actually have to sell them and be able to negotiate, and we don't have the skills to do it as an industry. It's a lost art.
How does that tie into what you say when you say whoever cares least about the deal wins? Is that a perception piece? Is that what we're trying to make the customer believe, but internally the emotion needs to be high?
Absolutely. It's whoever cares least about a deal wins, meaning they need to want to buy our car or our house, whatever I'm selling, more than I actually want to sell it.
Yes.
Not that I don't want to sell it, but I needed to have done such a great job of creating mental ownership. Right? Mental ownership comes before physical or financial ownership. And I need you licking the paint off of that car. I need you so excited seeing that in your daily life. It was this vehicle will be the solution to any pain point that you may have. You know, I always say that some of the really good real estate agents are great at this. They'll walk you through a house and they'll have your kids picking out their rooms and you'll be visualizing your furniture and figuring out what curtains you need to order. And when you walk out of that house with a really good agent, you've mentally moved your furniture in that house before you've even put in an offer. And now when you put in that offer, you want that house more than they want to sell it. And it's technically whoever appears to care least, right? It's not that you don't want to sell it, but really whoever's willing to walk away from a deal is going to get the best deal.
Yes. Herb Cohen, an amazing negotiator, he said, care about a deal, but not that much. Sort of the same idea, I think.
Absolutely. It's, you know, sometimes the best deal you ever make is the one you don't.
How true a statement is that, right? I mean, it's better to not make a bad deal than to make a bad deal, right?
Like, absolutely.
You don't want to get stuck into a bad deal because a bad deal is just, it's either not going to be profitable, it's going to be too high service, or you're going to have to put a ton of resources into it. And we just don't want to be stuck in those kind of deals. It's better to walk away from those kinds of deals.
Yeah. And that's, you know, really it's a salesperson's job. It's my job as a professional salesperson, closer, negotiator to make sure that I do a good job of listening early on with that customer. So I'm showing them the right vehicle. I'm asking questions, listening. That customer's basically painting their life on a canvas for me. And my job then is to paint my vehicle into their life, where they mentally see that being the solution they need. And then when you sit down and negotiate, then it's just a matter of let's fit this in your budget, not do you want it. See, so often salespeople will sit down to negotiate, but the customer's not even committed on that car.
Right.
And if the customer's not committed on the car or the house, anything, then you're not negotiating with the customer. You're negotiating with yourself. that's the reality of it, if that customer is not committed to getting it.
Hey, listeners, I want to tell you about another company that I run called Content Callout. It is a thought leadership brand marketing company. Now, what does that mean? It means that we take you as an executive or entrepreneur, a leader of a small or medium-sized business, and we turn you into a thought leader online. We take your personal brand and we amp it up to 11. So that you can lead with confidence, knowing that people will recognize you, recognize your brand, and recognize your business because of the thought leadership approach that you've taken on social media through content creation and content distribution, as well as engaging with all of your following online. How do you get involved in this? Easy, easy, easy. Just go to contentcallout.com/get-started, and you will see there three different options that will allow you to take your thought leadership brand for yourself and for your business to the next level. We are super excited to talk to you about this. We've seen some massive growth with the businesses that we've been working with. Very, very exciting time for us. Look at that. We appreciate it. Now back to your show. I love what you said there about asking questions that help that customer imagine that car in their life. What's an example of one of those questions that you would ask?
My philosophy is I need to have a pattern interrupt, meaning I need to interrupt that pattern of what the typical salesperson would do. And I've really been working hard with dealerships to make it about the customer when they first come in. Traditionally, salespeople will just greet you and wander the lot and bounce from truck to truck and look at stickers and ask them how much you want to spend a month, how much down do you have, what do you owe on your trade, what's your credit like. They make it all logic. They make it all about money right away. And I want to change that pattern. I want to empower that customer. I want to walk around their vehicle. I want to find out what they like about that car that they want on their next car. I want to find out what they don't like about it that they want to change. I want to find out what type of research they've done. What are their compelling reasons on why they really need a vehicle so I can make sure I'm showing them the right vehicle. Mm-hmm. But it's all about being able to ask open-ended questions, shut up and listen to understand, not listen to respond. And once you do that, then you lower that customer's guard. You go out by a car, you're guarded. These are car salespeople. I mean, that's just the reality of it. And my job is to lower the guard. And then once I can lower the guard and listen, then you become open-minded. As a customer, you're like, all right, well, at least I'll give this guy a shot. Then if I do a good job painting my vehicle in your life, then you're confident when I say, I think this is the perfect car for you and your family. And then when we sit down to negotiate, you trust me, right? Because trust is the ultimate goal of any salesperson. But is trust given or earned, right? It's earned. And how do you earn it? Well, you better lower the guard. Then the customer becomes open-minded. Then they're confident in you. Then they trust you. And I get so many salespeople to say, my negotiation was a grind. The customer, the objections, they didn't believe me. Well, the negotiation wasn't the problem. The last 15 minutes of the deal was not the problem. It was the first 15 minutes. Because you didn't make it about the customer. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care, right? As John Maxwell says. And it's absolutely true. It's get to know them, care about that customer. Then when you get to the negotiation, they trust you. You're not going to close them all. But now we can figure out how to fit that vehicle in the budget. So it's a win-win relationship, not just a win-win negotiation.
I love what you said there. It's not about the last 15 minutes. It's about the first 15 minutes. One of the themes that you have is that whoever starts the negotiation has the advantage. Is that what you mean by that?
Yes. So often salespeople will make it about the money, right? Mm. If I'm out there asking you, hey, how much you want to spend a month? How much down payment do you have? Well, any customer's going to lowball. I tell you, I want to be at $200 a month, even though I'm probably willing to spend $450 if I find the right car. How much down you got? Well, everybody's going to say zero down. You don't want to put any down if you don't have to. It's kind of the, you ask a stupid question, give a stupid answer, or it's really, there's Homer Simpson said there's no such thing as stupid questions, just stupid people that ask questions. Well, there's so many in my business, there's so many bad questions. The joke is buyers are liars is what has been around for 30 years in the car business that I've heard and I've been told. And they're not liars. You just ask stupid questions. If I ask you, do you want to drive it? You're going to most of the time say no, even though you want to drive it. It's easier to say no. It's the defenses. How much you want to spend a month? Zero. I'll do 200 a month. How much down you got? Zero. What kind of interest rate you guys want? It's bad questions, get bad answers, and that raises the customer's guard, because then when I go to present numbers and you told me you want to be at 250 a month at zero down, and I show you what I think is the best way to get your vehicle, shorter term with some money down, then you're going to be like, were you not listening to me? You asked me a question. I told you 250 a month at zero down. Why are you showing me 650 at 48 months? And it's a total credibility crusher. There's no wins that way. I have to then grind you up from 250, your bottom number you were hoping to get to. And every time I grind you up, it's a loss. Lose, lose, lose. We've all heard win-win negotiations. Well, if I come out and I start the numbers, every time I come down on my numbers, it's a win. It's a victory. It's built-in victories within a negotiation. So if you want to have a win-win, whoever starts the negotiation has the advantage. You start the numbers. As you lower your numbers, the customer's winning, and that's when they feel like they get a good deal, right? Because a good deal, what is a good deal?
Yeah. In that kind of a circumstance, you really have to draw light to the concessions that you're making so that they understand that it's a win for them.
Yeah, a good deal is a feeling. It's perception. The guy that grinds your teeth off and steals your car for $500 back invoice, more times than often, they hate your guts because it was just a grind. They didn't trust you, and they're probably not going to be a repeat customer. Mm. But the customer that you gave wins to, that you set the negotiation upright, they're the ones that love you. The craziest thing in the car business is the happiest customers, they're usually the ones that we made the most on. It's always been that way for 30 years, since I've been in the business for 30 years.
So many people talk about overcoming objections, but you say, why don't you just build in removable objections? What do you mean by that?
Well, removable objections, it's basically negotiating one-on-one, right? It's putting things in that you can afford to take out. My belief is you're best getting your vehicle at the shortest term possible and putting some money down. It's a depreciating item. When you go out buy a house, most mortgage people are going to show you 20% down at 15 years. Well, that may be the best way to get my house, but it may not be the way I want to get my house. My job as a negotiator is to show you the best way to get it, and then we negotiate from there. So removable objections are, I may show you 48 months with 20% down because I believe that's the best way to get it if you're going to finance it, not necessarily lease it. Now I can always go to 60 months. To 72 months, I can go from the $7,000 down to five, down to three, maybe you only end up putting $1,000 down. But it's a removable objection. It's those built-in wins. Me and my wife buy rental houses. Well, whenever we go put in an offer on a house, I always put extra items in there. I want a $2,000 paint allowance. I want a fence allowance. I want a carpet allowance. I want the appliances thrown in. The reality is I don't want any of those things. They're not deal breakers, but I can give those up. I can say, okay, I'll get rid of the paint allowance. It's a win for them. I'll give up the carpet allowance. It's a win for them. So that's what removable objections are. It's just putting things in that you can afford to take out and having built-in wins for that customer.
I love this approach. I think that's fantastic. It's actually a very wise thing to do. Very, very cool. So people can find your book on Amazon. We can't go into, well, we're starting to be able to go into physical stores now. In physical stores, is it available there?
No, it's on Amazon. It's Amazon Prime. It's the hardback, and they also have a Kindle. They can also visit kentsgroup.com, go to my shop, and I have the hardback in there. And there's also a negotiating download that they can get, and there's a closing download that goes a little deeper into the specific scripts. So kentsgroup.com or Amazon, either place.
Love that, man. As we close off, something that we love to do with every single guest is, what's the one piece of advice that you want to leave with the listeners today on negotiation?
don't be afraid to negotiate. Be inspired to negotiate, man. People want to feel like they won. Do not let fear paralyze you from being a professional negotiator. And every single day, challenge yourself to get better.
I love that, Tim. Thank you so much for being on the show today and sharing your wisdom.
My pleasure.
Hey friends, thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please share it with friends and colleagues so that they can benefit from it as well. If you find Negotiations Ninja Podcast worthy, please go on to iTunes and give us a cool rating with a nice review. We certainly appreciate every single one that we get because it helps us to understand who is listening, how they're listening, and what it is they like. If there's something that you would like me to discuss around negotiation, influence, or persuasion, give me a shout. You know how to reach me on social media, or you can get me on my website, which is www.negotiations.ninja.